Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pagans Tonight Radio Network, the voice of the pagan world. Pagans Tonight is sponsored by WitchSchool.com, your anyone, anytime, anywhere magical education.
Happy Horns and Hump Day, Pagans Tonight Radio listeners. You are tuned into Great Right Radio. And I am Dr. Susan, as always, coming to you every other Wednesday. But Michael Grail is not with us in the studio tonight. That's okay. We miss him, but we have a great guest coming up for you. You're listening to All Acts of Love and Pleasure, where we talk about sex, sexuality, relationships, queer issues, and more, all from a pagan perspective. We're so glad you're with us and made us part of your Wednesday night, and we hope you'll be part of the show. You can do that by calling in the U.S. at area code 347-308-8222. Hanging out in the chat room here at pagans tonight.com. That'll be coming up here in a moment. Or you can drop us an email at actsofloveandpleasure@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/allactslove. And we do post a lot of good stuff on our Facebook page, both during the show and throughout the week. So we're going to be having all kinds of good stuff there. Quick programming note that normally we would have a show next week, the first week of September, but we will have the week off as Pagans Tonight Radio is doing the Global Wicca Summit. So there's going to be all kinds of fabulous programming coming your way in that next week. So we won't be back on until September 19th, right around Maven, which is hard to believe that that's right on our horizon, but it is coming. The summer has gone really, really fast. Insert Dr. Susan's obligatory pre-show about the weather in Dallas here. We're moving on into the fall, and we've got some great stuff on the schedule for you. Tonight, we are bringing back nearly almost a year since the last time she was here. We are bringing back Breanne Ravenwolf. She has identified as a pagan from a very young age. She's an active member of Circle Sanctuary in Wisconsin. She volunteers her time with Circle, helping at most full moon rituals, as well as some workshops, Circle events, and sanctuary work days. At Pagan Spirit Gathering 2007, she became the first pagan trans woman to have the senioring rite of practice. Breanne follows a Hecatean witchcraft spiritual path. To relax, she likes to walk, camp, and hike as much as possible in very rural areas. She's an avid reader, especially young adult novels. Her latest YA book read was Belle Down Sans Merci by Astrea Taylor. And we are so excited to have Breanne back on the show with us. Welcome, Breanne.
Well, thank you, Susan and Michael. I appreciate that. It's been a whole year. It's been a very, very interesting year, you know. Since the last time I was on, a lot of stuff has happened. Actually, a year ago, I closed my business and actually decided to totally retire. And it's opened up a lot of avenues. When I went back to Pagan Spirit Gathering this year, 2018, of course, I missed having seen Michael there this last year, but now that you're moved and everything, Michael, maybe we can see you and Susan next year at PSG 2019. And it's been quite a year. I think a lot of the stuff that have done, a lot of it, I have to thank Jason Mankey for one thing on the air. I'll definitely put in a plug for Patheos.com. When I met him last year at Pagan Spirit Gathering 2017, I had told him I wanted to write my memoir. And he had asked me, well, what would be the title of your memoir? And I says, Between Two Worlds, My Journey as a Pagan Trans Woman. And he kind of like looked at me kind of like, whoa. And so we had many chats that year. And in January of this year, I got invited to blog on the Agora part of Patheos.com, and so I've written quite a few articles, including a couple controversial articles, and but it's been a really good experience. You know, eventually I'd like to combine some of the articles and, you know, actually do my memoir, but and some of the other things that have happened. I moved, still in Madison, but I moved to a different place, and still single for any of you lesbians out there that want to come to Madison, and hope that's okay to say on the show. Anyway, I've been following
Hecate. That's totally in the spirit of our show.
Well, I think, yeah, all acts of love and pleasure, see? Yeah. No, I've been identifying as a pagan lesbian quite a while. And, and I had surgery May 15th. I don't know if you knew that or not. And it had been a long time coming, but with everything else in my life, including shutting down the business, it just wasn't possible. But I had the opportunity to do it, and I made the decision last Yuletide to do it. I was glad I did it, and I went to PSG 4 weeks and 2 days after surgery to help out with layoffs.
Oh, is that turning online?
Yeah, it was kind of neat. I mean, you know, I got through it okay. It was awfully hot and humid down there, but it's been a blast. You know, with everything that's happened, it's just been incredible. I just cannot imagine what it would be like not having done it. Let's put it that way. So, so in a nutshell, that's about it. I haven't done a lot of hiking lately because, you know, after I got back from PSG, I had to see doctors and stuff like that. And but I've been cleared. I've been doing a lot of local hikes. But this fall, I will be heading out to New Mexico again and maybe stopping in Colorado. I did one hike in the Black Hills, however, but it was a short one. So that's been kind of like what I've been doing.
Well, that sounds like a pretty packed year. Because remember when we had you on last year, you had just been through the senioring, right? And that was a first for PSG.
Yes.
And it sounds like...
Yes.
From that sort of rite of passage, you've had a bunch of transformation and change. So I was going to start with, well, you know, how is your life different than it was, you know, a year ago when you just came out of the senioring rite? But it sounds like there's a lot of change, which is exciting.
Yeah, it's really been wonderful. It's been almost nonstop. I will admit that. As you said earlier, I am very, very active at Circle Sanctuary. I've been very, very blessed on a lot of things that have happened, and I have no complaints at all. It's been wonderful working with other Patheos.com writers, actually, and having met some of them at PSG 2018 this year that I hadn't met before, like Astrea Taylor, and, you know, being able to talk to a lot of different people. I did actually two workshops at PSG this year. One was focused on a conversation with a senior trans woman, which ended up being more towards a gender nonconforming, non-binary rite of passage, and I helped Hollis Mason on that a little bit. It was her gig, but I was right there supporting her and everything like that. And also with Tegan and Sean Hodel, I also co-facilitated a workshop on consent, which was pretty interesting. So, yeah, it just been crazy. I mean, crazy good. Crazy good.
Well, I was so bummed that I didn't get to go to PSG this year. And Michael's going to be so sorry he got missed being in on this conversation because he's not in the studio with us tonight. He got called into work.
I had to play
the archive for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because neither he nor I got to go this year. We missed out on a lot of stuff. So can you tell a little bit more about the workshop that you facilitated that was kind of geared around having a conversation with a senior trans woman, but you said it kind of morphed into something quite different. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yes, it did. I've been involved now since the seniorine, basically as a mentor, a senior figure, let's say, to the non-binary, trans, and gender non-conforming community, the pagan community. And so a lot of the younger gender non-conforming and non-binary pagans have been asking me about my journey and stuff like that. And what I had thought I was going to be talking about to older pagans didn't actually materialize, and I was happy about that, actually, because there's a few of us in the community that need to institute a third rite of passage. Beyond, let's say, beyond the croning and saging. Although on the croning, we had for the first time at PSG ever, we had a trans woman crone. Her name was Elaine.
Oh, wonderful.
I got to meet her, and she did the whole week-long program and was, croned at the Women's Rite of Passage. And I thought
wonderful.
That was like, it was incredible. I mean, totally, totally incredible. First time that had happened. And when I did my senioring, by the way, just to back up a little bit, a lot of people thought it was going to be about the trans and gender nonconforming, non-binary community. And it really wasn't. The fact that I was a trans woman and I was open and I was out really had very little to do with it, because it was basically, Selena and I went over that the year before, it was going to be for, and it will be eventually, for older pagans in the pagan community as a, when you hit like Social Security age, let's put it that way. So we haven't determined exactly what kind of, say, age, but for beyond sages and crones to be more as mentors, advisors, and a lot of the people that are doing the facilitation for a lot of the programs at PSG, let's say, are getting up in age. They're over 60, a lot of them. We definitely need to get more younger people involved and have these older people that have been doing this for years and years and years sort of take a back seat and mentor the younger people coming up. The problem that I see is we haven't had a lot of younger people come up, but in the other community, my community, the gender nonconforming community, we have a lot of interested young people that are willing to step up to the plate. And it's been a blessing to me to be able to work with these people, and because I understand them, and it's just been a real privilege. I just, it just blows my mind that would happen in 12 months. And I think we'll see a lot come out of it. Of course, we also have to run it through the channels that may be, because this has got to incorporate, the rite of passage has to have ritual. It has to have some sort of structure, a lot of structure, actually. And we've actually got a couple people, I won't mention now because it's not official, but we do have a facilitator of one rite of passage that's interested in helping out. We had one of the workshops we had at mine, actually, we had a circle minister, and at Hollis's workshop that I was an integral part of, let's put it that way, we actually had a circle minister in training there. So we've got some balance coming into this of, people that are a little bit older than some of the younger people, but can give that guidance and everything that they need. And so I'm just very, very tickled pink that I can actually, work with them and try to accommodate all of that to come,
Absolutely.
Overall, yeah, it's been very, very interesting. Let's put it that way.
Well, I'm not really hearing
something
what you say when you. No, go ahead.
Pardon me?
I said go ahead.
Go. Okay. It's just so different than what I would have expected a year ago, because after the senioring, so many people in the trans community and the non-binary gender non-conforming community came up to me and thought, well, geez, now we can have our third ROP. And I says, well, not exactly. And a couple of people a year ago were all gung-ho about it, but it sort of fizzled out until PSG this year. And we've got some serious young people now that are working very, very hard towards that goal. And I just have been kind of blown away. To me, it's very humbling to not only, you know, be a first last year for the senioring, but to work towards that goal. I mean, I never expected that to happen, Susan, a year ago. It's hard for me to put it into words. It's so emotional that it's just incredible. I mean, and I've actually written about it in a couple of my articles. For those listeners who don't know, I do have a Facebook blog. It's called Between Two Worlds, TWO, and you can use the Facebook @ Witchy Trans Woman to get to the articles. I've got them all in there, and it's basically a compilation of my journey through the pagan community, starting out when I was really, really young. But it's been incredible.
Well, and I'm going to link to your Patheos blog and to your Facebook blog through our Facebook page for those who want to follow that, because it is some really good reading. And I so hear what you're saying about sort of younger folks, especially what I'm noticing a lot in my community is people under 30 and even under 25. I know I have learned so much from the trans and non-binary and gender creative and gender non-conforming folks and that I meet in my practice that has really pushed me to be, I think, a better facilitator. And, my circle is the only one, at least the only open circle in Dallas that I know of that is explicitly inclusive and seeks to be affirming of trans and non-binary and gender creative folks. So I have a lot of people that show up at my events. I am amazed at what some of these folks are doing to just really change the conversation in our community. And I know when I presented at PaganaCon in March, I gave a talk on sort of what cis facilitators in goddess spirituality spaces can do to basically how not to be an accidental TERF 101 and how to create spaces. And honestly, I went in that room like I was ready to have a fight if I needed to, because that's, I expected to have a lot of resistance, and everyone who showed up in that room was like there to have the conversation I wanted to have. They wanted to have the conversation about not whether we make our spaces inclusive and affirming of trans folks, but how, cis facilitators, we get it wrong and how we can get it better. And of course, the first answer is always to just listen to trans and non-binary folks. But, to sort of confront some of the stuff that's baked into the cake that we don't think about as being exclusionary. And I was amazed. Like, it was totally not the conversation I expected to have. It was the conversation I wanted to have. And that was, I don't think that would have been possible 5 years ago.
Yeah, it would have been, you're correct in that, Susan. It would have been impossible. I will say that I've only been to two PSGs, but I've been involved on and off. Selena and I go back to about 1984 when she used to be a client at my photo finishing company. I processed the phone for a wedding way, way, way back. But I wasn't involved in Circle openly for about 30 years because of business, marital, other issues, and not being out as a trans person, even not even close to being out as a pagan at that time because of my far-right conservative clients. And because we did a lot of work with corporate America. But I agree. When, like last year, I was doing a lot of listening. I did a lot of listening this year, too. And I had a lot of of the younger gender nonconforming pagans come up to me and actually seek me out. And as a result, I didn't do as many workshops as I intended, let's put it that way. But it was actually quite gratifying to hear right. and talk to these young people on the trials and tribulations, including women that were upset with TERFs. We're talking cis women who had never had a period. One of them was at mm-hmm. my workshop. And we got to talking about the red tent and a few things like that. Of course, you're quite aware that I put out two articles in the last month or so on the TERF yeah. issue, which is a very triggering thing to me.
Of course.
But what was really kind of phenomenal to me, and I found that out yesterday, from Jason Mankey, that I've on my last article, including which you knew about too, and I think you shared some of them, I had 147 shares on that article, the TERF, transphobia and transgender violence article, and over 800 mm-hmm. views or reads. And I've had a couple negative comments, but I never expected to have it shared 147 times. I found that out from Jason late yesterday. And that Wild Hunt article, I did get some, I would say negative comments that why was I linking the violence to the TERFs? And the way I perceived it anyway was if you start with hatred and misogyny towards a person identifying as a woman who didn't or wasn't born with a uterus, that sometimes that can be linked into a possibility for violence. Not so much in the trans, not so much in the pagan community, but in the mundane world. And
right.
on both articles, I know it got shared to the mundane world too by some of my trans friends. And I have run into the TERFs in the mundane world more than once, let's put it that way, but I also found
yeah.
that, talking to another, contributor, who's a feminist also and a Circle member, we had a good conversation on Green Spirit at Circle about that. And a lot of the people that aren't TERFs, but are associated with some of the, let's say, the more vocal, well, I'm going to just put it out there, the Dyke March in San Diego, for instance, pagan cis women that are lesbians, hardcore butch dykes, got thrown under the bus, basically, and got, associated, and some people thought they were TERFs. Well, I have met at least one of them that was written about, and I've got her book, and she met me at Circle a year ago, and I actually bought her book, so she knew I was trans. I never got the impression, let's put it this way, that she was a TERF at all. There are a few in the pagan community. I just wish there was none, and I know you agree with that too, but
right.
I think that it goes beyond – it goes beyond us. And the thing that I had a conversation about was that, there are women out there that were physically and emotionally abused by men, and some of these women choose not to, associate with men. But my other comment is in San Jose, for instance, at Pantheon, there was a red tent that was set up that wasn't exclusive, and as I understood it from a few people like Selena Fox that went there, they shut the red tent down. I had an opportunity 2 years ago at the Arise Music Festival. I did ask. We had a thing set up there called Wisdom Village, and I went there for the music and ended up finding out that there was a whole lot of stuff that I hadn't believed that I was going to do there. So, the universe works in really mysterious ways sometimes.
Indeed.
And so I asked you know, the high priestess there, I says, I would like to sit in on this conversation. I am a trans woman, and would it be okay? And she said, yes. She thought about it for just about, oh, maybe 5 seconds, and said, yes. And I went in and had a seat, and she actually introduced me as a pagan trans woman. And there was a few raised eyebrows, but nobody actually spoke up about it. And I felt welcomed, which was, to me, I had never been inside a red tent before. And it was quite an interesting conversation that was going on. And I think just being there, Susan, I was able to convey to them that, hey, we're not scary. We're not the abusers.
Absolutely.
We're the abused, you know?
Right. And I know what I find, and I talked about this when I was at PaganaCon, is that I think, you know, there are people that are hardcore TERFs. They are entrenched in their views about trans people, and absolutely those, I say it on this show all the time, that ideology has a body count. Because it does make, feed into the narratives about trans folks and especially trans women in the culture that lead to acts of violence. And then, I don't engage with the folks that are that hardcore because they're not going to hear me. The people that I talk to and that I try and understand, I know because I was one, are people, you know, cis women who get into feminist spirituality and goddess worship. And it never even occurs to them that some of the language we use and some of the imagery we use is exclusionary.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's brought to their attention that it is exclusionary, we are horrified and want to do better. And those are the people that I work with. They just haven't thought about it. And, you know, my thing is always like, you've probably been in ritual with a trans or non-binary person. You just didn't know it. You know, or you've been in, you know, a ritual with, say, like, I have a friend who has Turner syndrome. If she did not take oral contraceptives, she would never menstruate. Nobody would question that she's a woman, right?
So, you know, so I was
like, you have been in spaces with people who don't meet this narrow definition of womanhood, and guess what? Everybody was fine. And when we start talking about, you know, that, yeah, you can totally have rituals that honor menstruation, but don't make that the sum total of what it is to be a woman. You know, they get it. And sometimes it's a little harder, but I find more people like the facilitator you're talking about who are like, oh, wait, hang on, let me think about this. Yeah, sure. Than the people who are the loud, you know, hateful people. And I'm watching that conversation grow and change as it just occurs to more people, and more people are doing education and saying, let's do this different. But I think there's a lot of hope.
I totally agree with that, Susan. That's one thing I learned at PSG last year, a year ago, that a lot of what needs to happen, when I had older pagans come and seek me out, a lot of them younger than me, but a lot of their kids, I'll just use the word children, were identifying gender nonconforming, they, them. And they were having problems understanding that. So I did as much outreach as I could. I had a couple non-binary pagans who have been very vocal in the circle and PSG community say, you don't need to talk about yourself, Bree, because, you know, Bree is short for Brianne. And my comment back to them was, well, if people are curious, why not talk about it? Why not educate them? Because the more we can talk about people that aren't, you know, the binary, that knew right away what they were when they were born, that they were either male or female, and I don't buy this thing where the sex comes into play on that. That's one thing I've actually written about too, is sexual orientation has nothing to do with the binary as far as your identification, you know, and I know too many gays and lesbians that agree with that, and I know quite a few bi and a lot of people in poly relationships too, and they say, no, our identity is what it is, you know, and if you identify as a cis woman or a cis man, that's what you are. That's what you believe in. That's what you think you are. That's what you know you are. But when you start coming to identity, which I've actually taught about too, but not at PSG, that was out in Albuquerque a year ago, and you start telling people about stuff like the gender-bred person, you know, about the three zones, your brain, your heart, and down below, that
right.
All of a sudden people start thinking, oh, it's really kind of simple. Yeah, it is. It really is. I would venture a guess that 90% of everybody in the world run into a trans person that might not have known. I'll give you another example from PSG 2017. After my senioring, a man came up to me was there with a woman, and I didn't know at the time that was his cousin. And he came up to me and he says, you are really doing our community a favor. And I looked at him kind of strange. I didn't have a clue he was a trans man, not a clue. And then he says, but I'm not out. And I'm going, you could have fooled me. I mean, you know, I didn't get any idea that he was a trans man. And he showed up at Circle for a full moon about a month or so ago, maybe 2 months. No, a workshop, not a workshop, excuse me, a sanctuary work day 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
He walks up, and I recognize him. I forgot his name. And he comes up, and he says, you know, it's been a while, but do you remember me? I said, I remember your face, but I don't remember your name. And he says, well, thanks to you, I outed myself right after PSG 2017. And I go, wow, that's cool. And I have a partner. I'm thinking, this is really cool. So we
had
a chat, and he told me, he says, well, I never ask anybody, I mean nobody, if they've had surgery, they'll have to tell you themselves. But he actually told me, he says, I've been on testosterone for about 15 years. And I tell you what, I think trans men are easier to assimilate into the wider community than a trans woman would be, for sure, because once they're on T, their voices drop, you know, and on estrogen, our voices don't go up any higher, and I choose not to fake my voice. People can take me like they want to or don't want to. It's up to them. But then a month later, at a full moon, I met his partner, and it's a cis woman, and I'm really, really happy for him. But this is what it takes. It takes people like you and Michael and me and a whole bunch of others to say, we're not scary. It's an educational thing. I mean, I guess the thing I got spoiled about, Susan, was being involved with Circle as long as I have, even though I wasn't active in Circle. And I'm also a UUA fellowship member, and Selena has been our speaker at Winter Solstice for the last 4 or 5 years. And so that's where I basically reconnected. But it's got to do more with, let me see if I can find this here. I'm going to read part of my last article. Where will this transphobia and transgender violence end when transgender people are granted complete and affirming access to society at large through love towards us fellow human beings, through education and respect for all? We need to educate, help, respect, and listen to each other's opinions constructively. Transphobia really needs to be totally out of our pagan community, so we can be stronger together. And that's what I have believed in for quite some time. And it's just too bad it takes an article from The Wild Hunt, which got pulled.
Yes, it did.
To really make it across that say, this is wrong. I mean, I can deal with it, Susan, in the mundane world, even though it's not good. I can deal with it. But in the pagan community, I can't. It just has no place in the pagan community, in my opinion. And I did get some pretty negative comments on the Patheos article on Patheos, but nothing I've seen in my feeds on the shares that were negative, which was kind of wild, actually.
Yeah, because there was at least one, right?
Oh, I had one. I did not delete it, but it was a whole lot better than one I had on a different article that had nothing to do with TERFs or transphobia that Jason Mankey actually deleted earlier this year. It was nasty as the dickens, and, you know, it was definitely from a far-right conservative Christian-type person. It was really, really nasty, and I only wish that I would have copied it before it got deleted, actually. So, I mean, I have to look at a lot of stuff that I write about with besides humility and education, with some sense of humor.
Yeah.
That if I take it too seriously, and that's what I like about your blog and your pages, if we take it too seriously ourselves, that is detrimental to our health. And,
yes.
you
yes.
know, I know that, you know, in years past, many, many years past, that we were marginalized. A lot of us were burned at stake. And in Salem, a bunch of us, I think 19, were hanged for our beliefs. And I've actually had mundane world trans people come up to me and say, "Aren't you afraid?" I go, "Of what?" You know, I mean, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to. Let's put it that way.
Right.
But it's just, if nobody speaks out, where will we be? I mean, you know, you look back in history at Martin Luther King and a whole bunch of people, including John McCain, who speak out for what's right. And my sentiments go back to June of 1969, when I was in the military, actually, at that time, and, you know, the Stonewall Inn riots, you know, which were started by drag queens and trans people, essentially.
Yes, they were.
And I think we've come a long ways since then, and I'm very proud of that heritage.
Yes.
I don't know at the time if I'd been not in the military, could I have done what some of these people did? And then on TV tonight, they were talking about 50 years ago, 1968 today, where they had the Democratic convention riots in Chicago, you know, and I'm going, you got to give these people credit for standing up what they believe. I mean, I'm an ex-Vietnam veteran. I am against all wars. And so is my brother, who was at, you know, in Vietnam as a combat Marine, got wounded a bunch of times. We are both against the wars. And I look at a lot of this stuff, why can't it be better? And that's, I guess, my mission. I take that as my mantra and try to move forward with it. So, you know, if people don't like it, I've got an expression for that, which I will not share on the air, but you know what I mean. You know,
I really hear what you're saying, that those of us who have lives where we can be public, I think we need to be. I know I've had the same thing where I've been very out about being pagan and very out about being queer.
Mm-hmm.
And people have asked me if I'm sure that's what I want to do. And I'm like, my life is such that I can do this work. There are
mm-hmm.
people who can't. And, you know, people stay closeted and people stay stealth for all kinds of reasons, and much respect. But my life has been one where I've been able to be out of all closets. And so I'm out there doing the work, and you're out there doing the work. And I think that that's really important, that there are those of us who take on these roles.
I think when we take on the mantra, for me, you know, if you told me, I came out 14 years ago, by the way, to my friends, my second wife, a year after I came out to my friends, I outed myself to her, and she was part of my company, and she outed me to all of our employees. And at the time, I was going with her to a Methodist church. She outed me to them. So when you talk about inclusiveness, and I get really gun-shy about churches that say, we're inclusive. How inclusive are you? And in today's economy, or are you just trying to get new members and saying you're inclusive? Although at our Pride Parade, literally a week ago, we had 90 floats, up 30 from the year before, and a lot of church groups were marching in the parade, which I thought was pretty darn good. So Madison being very, very liberal, even with our very conservative governor, it's actually thrilling to see the support we have in the trans community when you see all of these people, marching, that in some cases, a lot of them were trans. I know a lot of people in the mundane world that are non-binary. I probably know more non-binary people than I do cis people, let's put it that way. Not just in the pagan community. In the pagan community, I know a lot of pagans, but I would say I know, my perception is anyway, that a third of the people that I'm aware of that were at PSG this 2018 could identify as either trans, non-binary, or gender non-conforming. I had a conversation with some people that were on your show last year, too, about PSG this year, and I said, why don't we just get rid of this trans talk and this non-binary talk and gender non-conforming talk and just say, okay, why can't we just talk about non-binary or gender non-conforming? And there's still that rift, as I call it, in between that. But it's good to have the dialogue. I mean, there's always going to be trans people. People will say, you've had your surgery, you're a woman. Yes, but that's why I'm between two worlds. I will always have a part of me, always, that will be trans. And Selena Fox and I talked about that last year. I'm very active at Circle with the Transgender Day of Remembrance. I know you support it.
Absolutely.
But that dialogue needs to happen. I mean, in my article, this last article, I actually had data on how many people got killed since 2015. And in the article, and I have data that can back it up, that ever since, who got elected president, the violence has been increasing. And
absolutely.
When I saw that Wild Hunt thing, I said, yeah, maybe in the pagan community you don't see that happening, but in the mundane world it does. And I watch where I go in the mundane world, believe me. The one thing I like about being involved in Circle is Selena in Circle has always had an inclusiveness policy in writing on the website, always. And to me, I guess I got spoiled, And even in my trans community, I actually got out of our Madison Area Transgender Association because there were some trans people acting, and these were talking trans men, acting as if they were TERFs to other trans people, like the trans women. And I'm going, this is unreal, And several of us that have been involved with our association for a long, long time said, nope, we can't deal with that. We use that as a leverage, let's say, or standing up for what's right. And it got the attention of the executive director. I'm sure that there's going to be some fallout on that too. But when it's happening in your own community, that's enough. You know what I mean? Enough is enough, which I've written about too. And it was kind of interesting when Cindy Brownen wrote her article and used, enough in one of hers too. Because I think people are fed up, Sus, and I really, really think that there's a lot of people that have just had it with the stuff, including people in the pagan community, and they're going to, I think there's going to be some fallout.
Oh, for sure.
Am I a rabble rouser? Sometimes. But I guess I have to take a stand. As a trans woman, trans person, I have to take a stand. You've taken a stand, and I know a whole bunch of people like us that are taking a stand. If a person's not out, then we have to respect that too. I would never out a person. I've had my relatives out me. Seriously.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, it's like, okay, And, you know, my parents died a long time ago, but I had my younger sister, who was actually going to move in with me when she sells her house in Western New York, out me to two cousins that I'm going, why did you do that? Well, why not?
Wow.
I showed them pictures of you, and I'm going, Shirley, that is not the right thing to do. I would have never actually mentioned that. My brother's ambivalent, and one other sister, let's just say she's far right conservative like my brother, and only my other sister's a Tea Party activist, actually. So it gets a little complicated maybe, but simple in the fact that if you don't like me, even if, you know, we're blood relatives, I can deal with that. It's not going to be my problem. It's going to be yours because I am not changing. And like Selena said last year, you know, it was kind of funny after some stuff happened. And I've been identifying as Brianne for quite a long time. I actually got, after the business went down last fall, I legally changed my name and I didn't want my given name at all. I kept my middle name, though, and feminized it from Ray, R-A-Y, to R-A-E. And, boy, I had my siblings going, what the heck are you doing? I'm going, I'm making a clean break of this. And because of what you've been saying over the years, I don't care. And people say, well, you know, and the judge, when he said it was okay to change my name, he says, looked at me, and he knew I was a Vietnam veteran, and he says, I really like your name. I said, Your Honor, I really appreciate that. And I basically took my spirit bird, the raven, and my spirit animal, the wolf, and combined them. And
excellent.
I'd had it on Facebook for a long time, and I thought, I'm just going to make that my legal name. And then Selena says, don't hyphenate them. And that's what I did. I mean, you know, and I'm proud to be a pagan. I'm proud to be trans. You know, sometimes I pass and sometimes I don't. But like I tell other trans people, I don't care. I know what I am inside. And I'm a good person. And I want to help my community. I want to help my pagan community. I want to help my trans community. I want to help all of us that are different. And that's what I'm going to do.
It's been such a pleasure in the year that I've known you to watch the work that you're doing and seeing what a difference it's making. And you know, we're having conversations in this community that we wouldn't have had 3 years ago. We wouldn't have had maybe even a year ago.
Yeah.
And I think that the stuff that you're writing and the stuff that, you know, a lot of folks are putting out on this issue, a lot of people being, you know, able to and willing to take on the role of like educators within the community.
Mm-hmm.
I really think, I mean, one of the priestesses I work with, when we talk about the TERF issue in our community is like our refrain is like, well, welcome to the dustbin of history. Like eventually, you know, there is only one way this is going to go. And
yeah,
the
definitely.
People that are not going to keep up, like they're going to be forgotten. And I see, you know, so many women, cis, trans, or otherwise, so many non-binary people who are moved by, like in my tradition, the very political witchcraft, which we need at this time. And they, you know, I tell people I came for the politics and I stayed for the transcendence. And that's what a lot of the people that are showing up at my events that I'm running into, in these really political witchcraft spaces, you know, what they want. And it's like, we will wrest this from the hands of TERFs and bigots. We will. There's only one way for it to go. And it's so beautiful to see what people are creating. And I love having my hands up in it, and I also love standing back and just watching people create. And, you know, knowing that, you know, I have work to do with the cis folks in my community that need to get on the, you know, need to get on this train. But also recognizing that, you know, trans and non-binary and gender creative folks are building your own stuff. And unless I'm asked to come in to consult, that's not my business. Like, go make it beautiful, make your magic. Nobody has to tell you how to do it. And I think it's amazing stuff I'm seeing happen. And I'm now
well, in the last, yeah, in the last 30 days, there, if you've been following the Patheos articles, I am just, like I said, I'm very fortunate to be a part of that group. And I share a lot of other people's articles too. And there has been a lot of conversation about inclusiveness in some of the articles. I know Matt Oren wrote one, actually commented on one of mine, and was talking about the Wild Hunt article, and he put it down. He says, there's always been martyrs in history, and maybe that's the way they'll be remembered in their own little way. But it's not going to last, because there's going to be more and more people speaking out against that type of behavior in the pagan community, and that will spread also to the mundane community, which I have no problem sharing my articles with like-minded people.
Heck yeah.
I've had to, you know, get rid of some people off my Breon page, just because they didn't like my pagan views. And I said, well, if you don't like my pagan views, you know, just take yourself off or I'll delete you.
Right.
It's kind of like the disclaimer I put on there. I don't really want any political stuff on one of my pages and, you know, on my pagan Wiccan page. And I got asked, why did you make it secret? And I go, because I was getting trolled and I got kind of irritated at it.
Right.
You know, I get trolled a lot. I really, really do, especially on Instagram and stuff. And I go, you know what? It is what it is. And, you know, I don't take it personally. It's like anything else. You know, if you start taking it personally, it'll destroy you. And
yeah,
I don't know. What was that expression a long time ago? Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead or something like that.
Full speed ahead, yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, as long as we can educate people, Susan, that is the whole key. I honestly believe that. I never, ever thought 2 years ago that I would be in that or have the opportunity to do what I'm doing today. I'm so blessed to be an active member of Circle Sanctuary, so blessed to have a high priestess like Selena Fox, and, you know, and good friends in the pagan community, including you and Michael, and on and on and on. I mean, you know, and then I think, geez, why didn't I go to PSG a long time ago? And I was feeling pretty guilty about it until Selena says, you've been at a heck of a crossroads for 30 years in your marriages, two of them, two divorces, no kids. And, you know, it was time that the universe called you back.
Yep.
And
you
I
were
have
out
to
there
think
doing
about
work.
That. I was out there doing the work, and I didn't even realize it.
Well, that's often how it is.
You know,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of fascinating. I mean, people say, "Geez, what about this and what about that?" I go, "You know, I look at my life, and it's been one heck of a journey." I mean, McCain said that in a speech to the Senate. He says, "This has been an incredible life that I've had," and I think.
Yeah.
I have had an incredible life, too. I can't complain. I've done so much different stuff. I've done some bad stuff, too. Like a tattoo artist friend of mine said years ago when I asked him about the skulls on his tattoos he had on, and he says, you've known your dark side. I go, oh, yeah. And he says, if you don't know your dark side and can get through it, you won't know the light. And so there's a lot of good things that have come out of my life. And I had to leave a lot of it in the past. And my brother told me what his youngest son had told him about a year ago. He says, Nathan told me that if you live in the past, you die in the past. And I thought, boy, that's a heck of a good word. You know, a good
phrase.
Yes, good
it phrase. Is.
You live in the past, that's... you die in the past. And I try not to live in the past. But we have to learn from the past. We have to learn from Stonewall. We have to learn from this. We have to learn from Martin Luther King and on and on and on to get to the next step, the next part of our journey.
For sure.
And, you know, that's I'm just so blessed to have the support I've had from Bethel's writers, friends, people I never would have thought I would have met. I mean, holy moly. I mean, it just, I don't know. I'm in awe. I mean, just incredible. You know, I never thought I'd be writing a blog either. So
well,
I can't complain.
I hear you. And we just got the sweetest note from Michael, who apparently is streaming the show while he's working. He just said, you know, this conversation totally didn't need me. This is a really, really important conversation between a cis woman and a trans woman. And I think that he's right.
Yeah, I agree. I've enjoyed this conversation a lot.
Yeah.
I feel that I've gotten to know you better tonight than I did before. You know, and I know at some point in time we'll definitely be sitting down face to face and talking too. Never know. I haven't been to Texas in a long time, so you know, you know, or maybe PSG. I'm going to try to go to PanTheacom, the one in San Jose in January, because Selena told me it's the 25th anniversary, and a lot of Pathos writers show up there. And I'm thinking, that's on my bucket list. You know,
I'm trying to get
I couldn't make it to PaganaCon last year, even though it's close to here. And I was going to go to ConvoCon, and that fell apart because of the business stuff that I was getting ready to close the business. And it's like, you know, manana, like they say down south, you know.
Right. Well, anytime you come through Dallas-Fort Worth, there's always a space for you in my circle. You can come hang out under the moon with me and the Amazons. I think you'd get a kick out of it. I appreciate that.
And vice versa up here, you know, if you ever get up in the Madison area, you know, feel free to stop in at Circle. I'm sure Selena would love to see you again. You know,
it's been so long.
And it's been a while, and, you know, and just go
I'm
from
hoping
there.
For PSG
I mean,
this year.
I'm planning on going there, and it's going to be a thrill for me because Cindy Brennan says she is going with her son. So I'm going, whoa, I have never met the Outlaw Witch, and this will be fun.
That will be
I'm taking her class in November, the 1 year and 1 day class, you know. It's called Learn Modern Hecatean Witchcraft in this intensive program, Better Living Through Witchcraft.
I saw something about that.
Yeah,
that
it's called
fabulous.
Hecate's Modern Witchcraft. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that, and I have the time. And like Selena told me last year, she says there's a 4-letter word for what you're going through, and she says that's free, F-R-E-E, and you're free to do a lot of stuff that you weren't able to do a year ago even. And to me, that's an incredible blessing. I mean, like, whoa, you know,
right.
And
that's why
I try to stay healthy. That's why I try to stay healthy, too.
right.
But you got to do what you got to do. I'm just Michael's comment was really good. I think that's wonderful, actually. And I know that a lot of my Facebook friends that I've never met, including a lot of them in the Witch's Realm and other groups that I'm a member of, have, you know, shared tonight on their sites. And, you know, hopefully there's a lot of people listening. I'm kind of like, I was kind of hoping some other people would have called in, but sometimes I think people are afraid to call into a radio show too.
I think so too. Well, maybe if we can both get to PSG, maybe we need to like take this little show on the road. And,
I think that would be great. Do it live.
Be a great
Well, Selena's been doing a lot of Facebook Live stuff, even the PSG, little snippets here and there. And the last Transgender Day of Remembrance on November 20th last year at Circle, I was fortunate enough with two young gender nonconforming people to actually do a Facebook Live event with her. And it can be done. It can be done. You know, I think it'd be kind of cool to do this show live. I think that would be a blast.
I think so too. And I'd love to, I know the folks at PaganaCon asked me about maybe doing a live episode if I come up in March, and I'm planning on it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to have to make a plan for all kinds of fabulous mischief. That's really pissed at her.
If we can't get to San Jose next January, then I will definitely get to PaganaCon in March. So
awesome.
Win, lose, or draw, we will see each other live and in person.
I am looking forward to it.
Me too.
We're at the top of the hour. So do you have anything coming up, any like appearances or anything coming up that you want to promote?
Not that I'm aware of, other than, you know, we've got Welcome Summer coming at, next month at the Solstice at Circle, one-day event. I will be at Salwin in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Excellent.
And I'm looking forward to that. We did lose a trans woman in Albuquerque early this year to a very horrendous murder. And I just was called to go there, I have friends that live in Rio Rancho and Albuquerque. I'm a part of the Albuquerque Pagan Network, and I can't make Magical Mountain Mabon this year like I did last year, but there's 2019 con. And so I decided, well, I'm not going to Salwin and Circle this year. I'm going to go to Albuquerque and I shouldn't say celebrate it's going to be a sad time. Doing Salwin in Albuquerque, and Brian Rasmussen and a few other people out there that are in the gay community have welcomed me there. And I think, to me, that's going to be an important place for me to be.
Yeah.
And I've been called there. I will definitely be going to Taos, New Mexico, where I used to live part of 2005 and not 6. And I'm going to celebrate the Night of the Dead there by myself, probably, unless I can talk Donna into taking a day and driving up with me. So we'll see where it goes. So
sounds fabulous. It's a Southwest tour. Well, when you're down here, if you decide you want to take a little, 14-hour side trip to Dallas.
Never know. Maybe I'll go to Texas and then over on Highway 40.
This is true. It's lovely that time of year.
Oh yeah. I mean, last time I was at Texas, I did a trade show at Dallas Fort Worth, and that had to have been 20 years ago maybe. So it's been a long time.
It's been a minute. We have a good scene here. We have a very good pagan community here. We have a very fabulous community. I'm watching it grow in all kinds of interesting ways, and I think there are people here that would really benefit from meeting you and talking to you about what you've been doing. And we'll put some energy.
If we keep having these darn cold winters up here, I might think about relocating.
That's why I moved here.
Yeah, well, that's why Michael moved too. So, oh yeah,
get back down here. I'm going to take us out with just some announcements and play us into the next show. But I have had such a nice time with you tonight. I can't wait to have you back on.
I did too, and I really appreciate you having me on. And for Michael, if you're listening, I'm glad you weren't here. And I'm just sort of joking at that, but I think we had a better – Michael was right. We had a better conversation, I think, just the two of us. And
it's
a
conversation
it worked out good.
Hear.
Yes, you sure did. So I really, really thank you for that. And with that, I'm going to sign off and say until next time in the future. Okay.
Sounds good. See you in the street until we all get free.
You got it. Okay. Good night, Susan. Thank you.
Good night. All right. Thank you so much to Brianne. That was a fabulous conversation. I'm so glad we got to do that. I'm going to be playing us out. But we've got a few announcements. If you missed the programming note at the top of the show, we are going to be off air until September 19th. Normally we would have a show next week, but Pagans Tonight Radio is hosting the Global Wicca Summit, which is going to have some amazing programming. So tune in for that and then join us right before the fall equinox on September 19th for our next show. If you're wondering what I am up to, if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, my next full moon celebration will be September 22nd at Horizon Unitarian Universalist Church. That event is open to all women, cis, trans, or otherwise, and non-binary people who find their homes in women and goddess-centric spaces. I'll post that Facebook invite to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/allaxlove. On the 15th of September, I will be doing a class on cleansing and purification basics at Hearth Wisdom Store over on Arkansas Lane in Arlington, Texas. That class is 5:30 in the evening. We'll run for about an hour and a half. It'll be super hands-on. It is $15 in advance and $20 at the door. Again, you'll find that information on our Facebook page, and I'll boost it through my Dreaming Priestess page as well. I have two new courses opening up at Mystery School of the Goddess. Magical Maiden is another one in my Sabbath series where you'll get all kinds of ritual ideas and lore, journal prompts, recipes, crafts for the holiday. That is self-paced online, and you have access to information forever. That class is $15. And I've just started something new. I have a space at Mystery School called Goddess Study Circle with Dr. Susan. That is a subscription service. For $11 a month, you get access to that space, and I'm always adding more. It's kind of a place that if you've ever wished you could sit down with me and pick my brain about readings and ritual ideas and divination, that is a way to do it. And that price will go up at some point in the fall, so get in on $11. Again, find the link through my pages. I have a Patreon now. I'm at patreon.com/Susan Harper. So if you like to support my work, you can support me for as little as $1 a month, and you get all kinds of cool perks. And the last thing I'm doing is getting ready to go to Belgium in November to present some work that I have been building on writing about the pagan ethics of abortion. It's for a religion and ethics conference in right outside of Brussels, and I have had a wonderful series of friends who have pulled together some extra money and some frequent flyer miles to make that happen. So I am out and about as always. The best way to keep up with me is either at our Facebook page, facebook.com/AllAxLove, or my personal Facebook page. You can find me at facebook.com/DreamingPriestess. Until next time, I am Dr. Susan. Tune in for the Global Wicca Summit next week, and then follow Jason at Raise the Horns Radio. We will see you. Michael Graywolf and I will both be back on September 19th. Going to play you out with a little Celia, Everyday Goddess. Have a blessed week.
It's really no big deal. And it's Everyday Goddess.
She's a mother up to work. She is driving. She's a goddess in the elevator, rising like a star. They say she's working like a man, but they don't understand. She's dancing with the goddess in her heart. She's that woman on the phone. She's smoothing out a deal. And though her back is aching, she's a goddess in high heels. She works 6 a.m. to 3, and it may be hard to see, but the beauty of the goddess runs deep.
It's really no big deal. I'm just an everyday goddess, doing all my goddess duties, trying to find a way. I am the maiden and the mother and the cold.
just another day. It's life beneath.